Right now in Canada, thousands of people are waiting for a call, a match, a second chance at life. For many, that call won't come in time unless more of us say yes to organ donation. April is Be a Donor Month. National Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Week is April 19th to 25th, a moment to turn compassion into action. April 7th is Green Shirt Day, inspired by Logan Boulay, whose gift of donation created a ripple effect across our country. One decision can save lives. Register today at beadonor.ca and share your wishes with your family. Be a donor. Be someone's second chance. Welcome to the Living Transplant Podcast, where we take you behind the scenes of the Ajmera Transplant Centre at Toronto General Hospital, Canada's largest and most comprehensive transplant program, performing over 700 transplants annually. I'm your host, Candace. Each episode, we share the powerful stories from transplant recipients and living donors, along with insights and education from leading medical professionals. Today's conversation shines a light on a part of transplant care that many of us rely on every single day, but may not fully see behind the scenes, the transplant pharmacy team. I'm joined by Eugenia Chan, Outpatient Pharmacy Site Operations Manager at the Transplant Outpatient Pharmacy, or TOP, at Toronto General. The Transplant Outpatient Pharmacy is actually incredibly unique and one of a kind in Canada, dedicated entirely to transplant patients and supporting thousands of recipients every year. From managing complex immunosuppressant medications to coordinating blister pack delivery across Ontario and helping patients navigate the cost of life-saving drugs, Eugenia and the team play a critical role in helping transplant recipients stay healthy and to protect that new organ. In this episode, we talk about how transplant pharmacy teams support patients across the entire journey, from discharge after surgery to years down the road, and how that ongoing relationship can make a real difference in medication adherence, patient confidence, and long-term transplant success. Please enjoy. Thank you so much, Eugenia, for joining us today. I'm so excited to dive right into this conversation, all about what we're going to talk about today.
Great. Thank you for inviting me.
Amazing. So thinking about UHN, we are very unique. We just got our number two ranking in the world, which is quite remarkable. And thinking about the transplant outpatient pharmacy, how so many outpatient pharmacies dispense medications. And, you know, that's what we get, which is also, you know, needed and necessary. But your team is really embedded across the whole transplant journey. I'm wondering if you can talk about what impact that has for patients and how that continuity really changes outcomes for people.
So transplant outpatient pharmacy is really one of its kind. It really is the only transplant pharmacy in Canada. Basically, we're the only pharmacy that's dedicated to transplant patients only. And to start off, the reason why we have a dedicated pharmacy for our transplant program is because we are the largest transplant, you know, center, but also the amount of patients that have gone through the transplant program here at Toronto General. On average, we, you know, actually support about 5,000 patients per year.
Wow.
Patients, you know, start with us when they're newly transplanted. We kind of carry them throughout that journey of, you know, getting discharged from the hospital back to home. We help them manage the medications there. And then a lot of these patients do continue getting medications from us just because of that connection that we have to the program. We're always on top of their medications. We can reach out to the transplant program, the coordinators, the prescribers as needed. This ensures that patients are always on their correct medications, correct doses, etc. So it's definitely a continuous journey. Medications don't stop because transplant patients do take immunosuppressants and other medications for life, but we're there for the whole process.
Amazing. And as a recipient myself, I'm 16 years out from my kidney now. You know, medication has changed so much. Things that, you know, the support services that are available have come far in that amount of time. And At Top, services like those blister packaging and delivery, you know, they might sound like very simple things that could be added to help. But I'm wondering how the unique program at Top and how these supports make a difference in not just the ease of our lives as recipients, but also in adherence to our medication.
Mm-hmm. So you're right. We have a really large blister pack population. Currently, we're actually at almost 900 patients.
Wow.
We actually have automation on site to produce our blister packs. So, you know, obviously with 900 patients who get their blister packs every 2 weeks or every 4 weeks, it's not possible for us to make by hand. So we do have automation, a machine dedicated to making blister packs. In some cases, if certain medications have been stopped, we want to make sure that it's not in your next set of blister packs. And if there's dose changes, we try to make them as soon as possible. So it is really important for a lot of people because, you know, patients who are on blister packs generally have some difficulty managing their medications. And so, you know, if dose changes come about and patients are taking medications from vials, they may not necessarily know how to adjust the medications. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, there's a dose change today and tomorrow you're going to be getting your new dose. But because the blister packs are, you know, every 2 weeks or every 4 weeks, we do have time mm-hmm. to make the adjustments for you. So that's really important in making sure that you're on the most updated dose as much as possible. In terms of our delivery, we do offer free delivery service to anyone within Ontario.
Wow.
They can be, you know, anywhere within Ontario. And sometimes we also have transplant patients that come from other provinces as well. We're not able to deliver to other provinces, but when a transplant patient does return to their home province, we will work with their local pharmacy to make sure the transition is as smooth as possible. But for those who are in Ontario, we try, you know, to service them as much as possible, even though they may live like hours away from the downtown core.
Right.
So the coordination for that timing is crucial as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we often have to work backwards. If there's a certain day that the patient needs their blister packs for, we have to work backwards to make sure that we have enough time to produce the packs, you know, get the packs checked, and then also to have it delivered to the patient.
Amazing. You know, I'm very grateful. You know, I am the age that I am. I live where I do. And I have the medical knowledge to, you know, for me, the medication was very overwhelming when I was first diagnosed and when I was first post-transplant. But, you know, now 16 years post and the knowledge that I have, it's second nature for me to, you know, be able to easily switch if my prograf needs to go up or down, or, you know, I hear from my pharmacist and they say, we're going to up this or lower this. And, you know, over the years, it's become secondhand. But like I said, I live very close to a pharmacy. I am able to, you know, do these things. I have a lot of access. And so hearing about, you know, the delivery anywhere in Ontario, that really breaks down a barrier that we often talk about as well, you know, that difficulty in adherence and worrying about your medication and how am I going to understand which one to take when, and now they've changed things and I live 4 hours away from the center. You know, do you see that these things that have been put in place have, you know, increased adherence or helped patients who may have barriers to that medication and support now that you're able to do these things?
Definitely. So, you know, your average local community pharmacy most often do not have access to these medications. Even if they do, it's a special order for them, which means that they don't routinely have these medications in stock. So, you know, being able to deliver to patients who may be living, you know, really far away, it's still really helpful for them because, you know, we always have the medications in stock. And, you know, we work with these medications every single day. So we know exactly what it is that the patients need. And so, you know, we really try our best to make sure that patients get the correct dose and to get their medications whenever they need to.
Amazing. Yeah, it's music to my ears as a patient for sure to hear all of that happening. And thinking about, you know, our, like we discussed, there's a lot of changes that happen, you know, along the years, especially the first year of your transplant. You know, meds are changing nonstop and up and down, and, you know, making sure that that transplanted organ is happy in there, and also balancing, you know, making sure that we are living a good quality of life as well, right? There's all of those balances that come into play when we're thinking about medication. And with your pharmacy team, you guys provide, you know, such personalized support and assessments. And I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about how that level of support and that level of review helps prevent complications post-transplant for patients.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So yes, we work very closely with our patients, and, you know, we very much understand that it's very overwhelming for each patient that goes through that transplant process, and then having to learn about all the medications they need to be on, learning how to adjust medications as the dose changes, you know when to start, when to stop medications, etc. So it is a process. When patients are discharged from the hospital, they may not necessarily have, you know, seen us in person, right? But once they return home, all the medications do come from us. Our pharmacists are constantly calling each individual patient to update any dose changes that may come about. And during these conversations, a lot of times we do get into, you know, other issues that the patients may have. So we have a lot of opportunity to help guide patients through this learning process. I'm going to say, because we have so much contact with our patients, and it may not necessarily be in person. We do a lot of our counseling, a lot of our medication advice over the phone. But over time, I think patients, you know, learn to work with us. We learn to work with each individual patient as well. Any notes or anything we learn about the patients, we're documenting it in their patient file as well. So we know, you know, when we have a conversation later, you know, what are the patient's preferences, or what have they expressed to us that they're able to manage, you know, in the past or in the future. All of these are taken into consideration when we have, you know, discussions with our patients. So I guess all of that really help to prevent complications, because we're working with them, you know, all the time.
Right.
What is also really important is that because we connect with the patients so often, patients, you know, readily share with us what kind of adverse effects they're feeling.
Right.
Or, you know, any type of, you know, something's happening. I'm not sure if it's because of the medication or it's my condition. And when we review those with them, they often learn about that as well. So, you know, we're almost always there to help them, you know, learn the red flags that they need to be careful of. When should they, you know, reach out to their prescriber or their care team? You know, and then in some cases, it may just be non-medication related, which we will try to help them, you know, figure as well. But because we speak to them so often, it really helps to prevent complications, because we're catching these symptoms, these side effects that patients may be feeling, and we're addressing them sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know I have a very close relationship with my pharmacist, because they've been with me now for so many years, right? And it's actually been the same pharmacist the whole 16 years, which has been incredible. And one of the things that I was really worried about post-transplant was those drug interactions. That was really top of mind, because we don't think about that, you know, the general population. If they get a cold, they think, oh, sure, I'll just take some cold medication and, you know, go to bed and hopefully that'll fix my cold. And food interactions as well. And so when thinking about these fears for patients and the risks and the dangers with immunosuppressants, What are some of those risks that maybe us post-transplant recipients might not realize? And how does your team work with recipients to protect us with those?
Mm-hmm. So generally, when a patient is discharged after their transplant, there is an inpatient pharmacist that walks through their medications with them. And then, you know, once they go home, then it's the outpatient pharmacist from top who, you know, help them or help support the patients. In terms of things like drug interactions with food, to be honest, there's not too many major food and drug interactions. I mean, one thing that I can think of off the top of my head is, you know, grapefruits. That generally is a common one out in the community in general.
Mm-hmm.
Those particular types of food interaction, if a patient ever starts on a medication where there are, you know, foods to be aware of, we would definitely let them know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever start on a new medication, when we do the counseling for the patient, we will also go through that as well. Again, with drug interactions, same thing. I think when they're about to be discharged, the inpatient pharmacists often review with them what medications to, you know, be cautious about. I think the biggest group of medications that we almost tell all our patients is, you know, with the anti-inflammatories and that possible interaction,
mm-hmm.
anti-inflammatories and the transplant itself. Other than that, drug-drug interactions are often like drug-specific. So again,
right.
like if
yeah.
a patient starts on a medication where we know of very common drug-drug interactions, we will let them know.
Mm-hmm.
In the case that, you know, we're looking at drug-drug interactions between the drugs that a patient is on,
mm-hmm.
we definitely make those assessments. This is standard practice for us to always be checking for drug-drug interactions. And then we basically advise the patient of, you know, the general things that they need to be aware of if the drug-drug interactions are for items that are over-the-counter. Or things like that. So in general, another big, you know, group of not medications, but supplements is mm-hmm. the fact that we don't actually recommend supplements to transplant patients, with the exception of the ones that are quote unquote, like prescribed by
right.
The transplant team. And those supplements are usually to sort of make up for or to balance out certain, you know, electrolytes or things like that that they may be missing because of taking certain medications. But other than that, in general, we just don't recommend supplements. We always recommend patients to check with us.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ever interested in taking a supplement, the recommendation would be to give us a call and we can work with you. The only thing about supplements is that the there may not be a lot of, you know, trials or data that we may have access to specific for supplements, you know, versus your transplant medication. So often we're working with limited information as well. But in the case that we don't have very solid information to share with you, the recommendation would be it's better to not use the supplement.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. And I know, you know, thinking about post-transplant life, it's a lot of scary things that happen when you're, you know, rolling up to the thought of having the surgery post-transplant. You know, you're thinking about this new life. And I've heard from many patients, one of the things that scares them the most is the thought of the side effects that some of the transplant medications have. How do you work with patients to kind of explain the benefits of our medication versus the side effects and how we deal with those? And I guess kind of counsel people through that fear of, you know, the post-transplant medication side effects that they may or may not encounter.
Mm-hmm. So I think the most important piece is to give the patient a heads up on the potential side effects. And what to expect. I think a lot of times people's fear stems from the fact that they don't know what to expect.
Right.
So when we do the counseling, we try to share as much as possible. But knowing that, you know, medications, if you really go into their list of adverse effects, it's really long, right?
Yes, so, right.
Yeah, like we choose the most common ones to tell our patients about. And then the less common ones, depending on the scenario, we may or may not talk about it up front. Mm-hmm. Just because sometimes, you know, if you start listing out every single adverse effect, it's pretty much everything.
Right. Yes.
Really happens.
Yes.
And so that's usually not what we do, because it is kind of scary, right? When you've got a list of like, you know, 20, 30, 40 adverse effects. But we definitely will review with our patients the most common ones.
Mm-hmm.
And for the common ones, basically what to do if you do experience that adverse effect. I'm going to say the top few adverse effects are probably related to stomach upset.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, headaches and just generally like a feeling of just feeling unwell. But with things like stomach upset, there is some flexibility in different options that we can take when a patient does experience that. So it's hard to say here what exactly we counsel patients on, but we do need to go through that process of collecting information from the patient. So if a patient is willing to share with us what exactly they're feeling, or, you know, what is it that they do that might make that particular adverse effect worse, or what helps to lessen that side effect, we can then cater our conversation with them accordingly and advise them what to do. In most cases, it just could mean that certain medications you may want to stay on a slightly lower dose for a little bit longer before you titrate the dose. But any of that type of recommendation would have to go through the care team and the prescriber first. So sometimes we do make adjustments, and the care team would make adjustments as well based on the adverse effects that the patient is feeling. And in some cases, if really the patient cannot tolerate it, there are options to switch to other drugs. So it's not like, you know, I can't take this medication. What am I going to do now? Because there's no other choice. There are choices.
Right.
We just have to work with you to find the most suitable medication.
Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful in my journey specifically as well, post-transplant. One of my medications was causing a lot of stomach upset. And so it was discussing that with the pharmacy team, suggesting when I should eat as well, because I wasn't eating at great times for when I was taking that medication. And then also the timing of the medication really helped as well. I had another med that I wasn't quite sure if that was what it was, but I was having a lot of issues with falling asleep at night. And so we adjusted timing with some of my medications. And it, you know, now I'm 15 years post of changing the times and when I eat. And, you know, it's been wonderful. And, you know, thinking about the fears I had about the medication versus the life I had on dialysis, you know, it is so minimal to deal with these side effects versus having to do that treatment daily, right? So I, it's wonderful to hear, you know, just being in good communication with your pharmacy team about what's going on, and you know, trying not to just, you know, grin and bear it, that there are ways that they, that you guys can support us through this journey and making it better, right? Yeah. The other piece that I often get asked by patients is about the cost of medication and the coverage. I'm wondering how your pharmacy team supports patients in navigating that reimbursement and access to those high cost medications.
For sure. So at UHN, or specifically Toronto General for the transplant program, we are really lucky to have as part of our pharmacy team a role called Medication Reimbursement Specialist. So we call them MRS for short, so Medication Reimbursement Specialist. But these particular individuals help patients navigate drug coverage. So often when a patient is transplanted, our MRSs are already looking into the patient's coverage, you know, potentially what medications they may be on. And we start, you know, investigating in the background, if the patient's going to be taking this medication, what do we need to minimize the out-of-pocket expenses for the patient? We help investigate whether it's private insurances that a patient may have through work, through their spouse, etc. Also public coverage, which is from the government and different, you know, government programs. Sometimes it's a combination of the two, so it can get a little bit tricky. Our MRSs really specialize in that, and they help sort out the sequence of the insurances to bill to. What we also assess in the background is if a patient has difficulty with, you know, affording very expensive transplant medications. So in some cases, some patients may be eligible to apply for certain government programs, and we'll help them with that application process. There's some additional support. We also work a lot with patient support programs from the drug manufacturers. So these patient support programs are really meant for financial assistance. If we are able to flag certain patients that need that financial support, we go to the patient support program and ask in advance for additional support. We also have a lot of, you know, special programs with, you know, certain drugs where the patient support program would help to pay for some of the cost if it's an issue for the patient. So overall, our MRSs do like a very wholesome investigation into coverage that is available for each patient. Depending on the needs, we'll kind of go in different directions to help get that financial assistance for them. At the end of the day, our goal is really to minimize the out-of-pocket expenses for our patients. So our goal is always to make it as close to zero as possible.
Amazing. And it's incredible to learn about all of these supports that are available for patients financially, because originally hearing about the medications prior to being transplanted, that was a huge fear for me when people said, oh, it's, you know, it's a few thousand dollars for this medication a year. And I thought, oh my goodness, number one, I'm worth a lot of money now that I take these for this long. But also, how does somebody on a regular income ever possibly afford this? And then, you know, hearing about all of these reimbursement programs, that can even be overwhelming for patients and thinking, well, how do I apply? Where do I go? What do I do? So knowing that that guidance is there ahead of time, so we're not, you know, the day of our transplant, we're thinking, yay, I finally have this wonderful kidney, but now how am I going to pay for this, right? So it's another level of support that is given, and those fears, you know, really taken away from us, so that we don't have to worry about those financial costs and worry more about our health and compliance, so that we can keep these organs for a long, long time, right?
Yeah. And this is continued support as well, because at the point of discharge, you have, you know, the medication reimbursement specialist helping you with it. And then usually that's good to have you start on the medications that you need to be on. But, you know, obviously, as time goes by, there could be changes to these medications. Your insurance may change. The meds or the medications that you're on may change. You may start something new, stop something that you were taking previously. And then in those circumstances, it would be TOP or the pharmacy that would help follow up for you. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sometimes if there is like a new start for a medication that may require special approval, so it may not be, you know, something that's just covered right off the bat, we'll help you with those forms. So not necessarily like that we would fill it out for you, but we can definitely access the forms for you, give you a copy of the form so you know what to submit to your insurance. If your insurance approves it, then great. It's all resolved. We can bill it within the pharmacy. And if there's any other issues, we'll try to help you out to follow up. In addition to that, I think over the years, there has been a lot of changes with, you know, coverage as well. So medications that, you know, in the past, private insurances didn't cover or the government didn't cover, now that we have a lot more transplants and, you know, the government and private insurances recognize the benefits of having the drug readily available for patients, a lot of that coverage has changed as well. So there are a lot more medications required for transplants that are pretty much covered, like, right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if there's ever a medication that is not covered for, you know, every person, then it would just require a little more work into, you know, exploring what are the different options available to help get you that coverage.
Amazing. And like we've said a couple times, you know, that transplant is so overwhelming for so many reasons. And you've talked about all these amazing supports available through TOP. But I'm wondering, as a patient who is, you know, first sitting in that outpatient pharmacy for the very first time, what does that visit typically look like with you?
We'll sit down together in the counseling room and we'll walk you through all the medications. That's one option. Majority of our patients may have questions during times when they're actually not on site.
Mm-hmm.
So those particular interactions would be over the phone. And if we identify that, you know, over the phone, it's really hard for the patient to understand what we're saying, then we would ask that if they can come on site next time to speak to us in person, then we can actually point out physically the specific medications to them. But it is definitely a challenge because not everyone comes to the pharmacy in person to pick up meds.
Right.
And because with our delivery service, a lot of patients are able to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
So where possible, we try to review as much of the medication information as possible. But sometimes it does require the patient to let us know that it's just not, you know, sufficient for them and that they'd like to meet us in person to go over the medications.
Amazing. And, you know, looking ahead about, you know, the future of patient outcomes and medications, we often talk about, will there be a day sometime in the future where our meds will be extremely minimal or we'll have transplants where we won't need all of these immunosuppressants? But until we get to that point, what do you think is an opportunity for the outpatient transplant pharmacy to do in the future to further improve these patient outcomes?
That's a really good question. There's probably a lot we can do in the meantime. I mean, the types of medications that patients use over time have actually evolved, right? It's the way it looks now isn't exactly how it was 10, 15 years ago. But in terms of medications, I think some of the newer formulations now do kind of look at that dosing frequency. So where possible, medications are kind of going in that direction of once a day, for example, versus multiple times a day. And I guess the availability of, you know, medications is changing as well. From that regard, I think, you know, TOP doesn't really have too much control over it. But where we can step in to help make medication management a bit easier for our patients is more, you know, with pharmacy operations and how we connect with our patients, what we can do for them to make things easier. So that kind of gets into some of the technology that we have in the pharmacy. So blister packs, for example, is one service that we provide to our patients that is quite different than what would have been offered 10, 15 years ago. Because we have automation to make blister packs, it just means we can provide this for a lot more patients. And it is an opportunity to help minimize complications and to help ensure that there's medication adherence. Other things that we look at from a technology perspective at TOP, we are trying to improve our phone system. So, you know, throughout this conversation, I've mentioned many times, a lot of our communication with patients is through the phone. So you can imagine, like, we have really, really high phone volumes. So what we're exploring at TOP right now is text refills, for example, like, can a patient, you know, text us the prescriptions that they need to refill, the prescription numbers, and then we can kind of work on that in the background for them without them having to give us a call. Or, you know, things like refill reminders. So if certain patients, you know, identify that they have an issue with recognizing when to call us for refills, then, you know, our text refill reminders useful, right? These are all, you know, new features that we're looking at. We're currently in, you know, the exploring phase. So we're not quite ready to implement those, but these are the solutions that we're looking at to make that communication easier, and to help us address more patient needs. I think anything we can do to help more patients is useful.
Amazing. And before I let you go, I'm wondering if you were going to speak to a patient who is coming into this process new and very fearful about the medications, or maybe a family member that's nervous about supporting their loved ones through this medication process, what's something you would want to let them know about the team and TOP and how you support them?
Mm-hmm. So I do think our transplant program is very good in this respect. I think there's a lot of materials that are provided to patients at the time of transplant. Fully understand that it's very overwhelming sometimes when you're given so much information. But I think the key takeaway is to not be afraid, because there is a very structured team here within the transplant program. If there are any questions, if there's anything that a patient or the caregivers need, someone is always here to support. And if you reach out to any one of us and we're not the right people to support you, we know who to go to get you that support. So, you know, the most important thing for patients to know is that they're not alone. We go through this whole journey with them. Yeah, I think the most important thing is that the patients know to reach out to us, and we will do our best to support them.
Amazing. It is most definitely one of a kind. Such an incredible support network that is available to patients, and how lucky that, you know, recipients and support people are able to come to TOP and get this level of support and expertise. And I'm so grateful that you took the time today to speak with us and explain a little bit about the amazing program. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you so much for inviting. It was a great experience sharing, you know, information about TOP with everyone.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Living Transplant Podcast. If you did, please rate, leave us a review, and share with your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Living Transplant wherever you're listening today. If you have any ideas for podcast episodes, please reach out to us at livingorgandonation@uhn.ca. For information about living organ donation, you can visit us at www.livingorgandonation.ca. Special thanks to Bespoke Productions for editing this episode and for production support. I'm your host, Candace Coughlin. Thanks for spending your time with us.